Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. The picture of Jesus being our shepherd is so precious. We sang it this morning, and then Brother Tom started that again, that song again. In tenderness he sought me. And there you have the picture of that sheep that's gone astray, and yet he goes out and he seeks and he finds that sheep. Brings it back to the fold again. But then the Lord, as the good shepherd, he's with us, you know, throughout life. My dad reminded me of a song tonight as we were singing about Jesus leading us all the way my Savior leads me. He started that song quietly. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels when I lay my burden down. Jesus led me all the way. What a testimony that is. To be led every day. In the little things, by the Good Shepherd. Tonight I wanted to look at some of the verses that are in your book that talk about the pilgrim. A pilgrim declares. What is it that the pilgrim says? Last night we looked at that last one in Hebrews 11, where it says, they seek a better country, a city that hath foundations. They declare that they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so as a pilgrim, we declare that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. I don't think we'll have time to look at all of these, but I trust that you will at some point. If we don't cover them, you'll go back and look at them. Psalm 119, verse 19. Psalm 119, verse 19. We've been encouraged already tonight to spend time in our Bibles, to pray, to have a time with God. And here David, he writes this in that psalm that speaks about the Word of God and the ways of God and how he loved God's Word and commands. So this is what he says in the 19th verse. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. It seems the only way through, the only way that you and I will make it as pilgrims, is by the Word of God. Can we really know God apart from His Word? Do you think that you can know God apart from His Word? The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Can I know God apart from His Word? Yes or no? Well, we see Him, we see the world He made. Didn't we sing about that? But that tells us that God is. And that He is the Creator. That tells us that there is a God. But to know God, to know Him intimately, He's given us His Word. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to trust in our feelings. I thank God for feelings. Are you thankful that you can feel things? And I'm thankful that we can feel God's presence. But my faith isn't based in my feelings. My faith is based in His Word, what He said. And I find it to be true in my life. And so I thank God for His Word. Don't hide your commandments from me. Do you think if we open our Bibles with that thought, Lord, speak to me, you think that God will speak to you? I know some people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. It's hard for me to understand it. It doesn't make any sense. There's another verse that goes right before that. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And so what a wonderful way to approach God's word with that prayer upon our hearts. Open thou my eyes. Illumine me. Give me understanding. Speak to me from your word. Psalm 119:54. Now, if you don't have the King James, it's going to say something different. But in the King James, it says, Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Or, the NIV, Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. Many of the hymns that have come down to us and that we sing really teach us about God's ways, don't they? And that was one of the purposes. I believe it was Martin Luther who wanted to get the people, the German people, to sing these hymns so that they would get the truth of God's word into their hearts. Now, do you remember things better when it's put to music, don't you? And so may His decrees, His statutes be the theme of our song as we journey along. Allow God to put His word into your heart through these hymns that He's given us. Now, what else does a pilgrim say? Let's go back to the top there. Well, let's look at Psalm 84. Let's go there. Psalm 84. I think if I could take another psalm and put it in with those pilgrim psalms that we study, I think this would be one of them. I think it's one that fits well with that thought of these group of Hebrew pilgrims going up to Jerusalem three times a year and the desire that they had to be in that city, the place where God dwelt, as it were, in that city where the temple was. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And here the psalmist expresses a great desire to be in God's house, to be in the place where He dwells. Look, that little bird, he's better off than me. Why? Because he gets to stay near your altar. He's built a nest there in your temple. Oh, my desire is to be in your house, to be in your dwelling place, O Lord. And so my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I think one of the blessings, maybe the greatest blessing that God can impart to us, is to make us hungry and thirsty. What do you think? To put that holy desire within us. Oh God, I must have you. I must know you. That's the greatest thing in my life. Knowing you, loving you, Lord. Sometimes we'd like to, I remember coming to camp and sometimes we look for God to do a certain thing in us. You know, I would come to the Labor Day retreats and And I had in my mind maybe an expectation or a way I thought God should come to me. And you would see people around you and God would be coming and pouring out His Spirit, and there would be a powerful time. People would express their praises, and you could sense that God was meeting them and filling them. And maybe God wasn't coming to me like that. So what would I do? Or how should I feel? I remember going home one time and feeling maybe a little discouraged. God, You didn't come to me the way I wanted You to come to me. You ever have that feeling? God, why didn't You do for me, you know, what You did for that one? Or I just don't feel it. I don't feel it, Lord. And then the Lord reminded me, I remember feeling that way, and just reminded me, well, I've put a greater desire in your heart for myself to seek me. To seek me. And what a blessing that is. Because if God is able to do that, then we don't just go from, you know, high point experience to high point. We don't live like that. But there's that daily hunger and thirst for God. You know, I believe the scripture is given that way because it speaks about it in that way, because hunger and thirst is a recurring thing, you know. It's not just a one-time thing. We go to the dining room 3 times a day. Why? Because we get hungry again. And we get thirsty again. And we need to satisfy that. And God wants to somehow put that into our souls. And I think it would be a good prayer to say, Lord, make me more hungry and thirsty for Yourself. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. But then he goes on in verse 5 and says, blessed are those whose strength is in You, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. I like that. They've set their hearts on pilgrimage. They've understood that that's what it's all about. I have no continuing city. This is what God has called me to in this life. To go to God. To go to the place where He is. To His dwelling place. And so my heart is set on that. They go from strength to strength. Till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon Your shield, O God. Look with favor on Your anointed one. And then here's something else that a pilgrim says. Better is one day in Your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Could you say amen to that? I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather just sit there at the door. I don't need a prominent place. I'll hold the door for everyone else to come in. Now, I'm sure that there was certain responsibilities of that doorkeeper in the temple. But just to fill that lowly place, just to be in God's house, is better than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And if God could get that into our hearts, it's better. One day is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I think Psalm 63 has a similar thought. The thought of hungering and thirsting. Says that this psalm is a psalm of David when he was in the desert. He was separated from the fellowship, the communion that he had enjoyed. He had to run for his life. And so here his cry is, O God, You are my God. Early, earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land, where there is no water. I have seen You in the sanctuary and beheld Your power and Your glory. Because Your love is better than life, my lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live, and in Your name I will lift up my hands. Hallelujah. Maybe we come from situations that are spiritually very dry. I know some people come from homes where maybe they're the only Christian, the only one that's following the Lord. Here at camp, we're so blessed. It seems that it's so easy to touch God and to come into His presence. And then we return home, and it's like it's a dry place. But in the midst of that, God would like us again to turn, as it were, the inward eye toward Himself. Lord, I want to see You even here. Yes, I long to be in that place, the sanctuary, but Lord, I need You right where I am, right here and right now. And I believe the Lord will come to us if we have this desire to seek Him, to thirst for Him, to hunger after Him. God will meet that desire wherever we are. We don't leave God here at camp. God goes with us. He's within us. You know, we read that the other night, that testimony of Madame Guyon. If we would only see that Jesus is right there. The kingdom of God is within you. But here the psalmist has this longing for God. I must have You, Lord. The other thought there, that hunger and thirst. You know, I don't know how many of you can live without water. None of us can. And so thirst to me represents something that is a matter of life and death. And if we're not thirsty for the things of God, if somehow we've wanted to fill that thirst with the things of this world, well then spiritually we're going to die. Spiritually we're going to die. That spirit man, the new man, is not going to receive that water of life. Because we're filling our souls with other things. And so, Lord, I thirst for You. And I long to be in Your presence. My soul will wait for You. Father, draw me nearer. Oh, thank You, Lord. And if the Lord could put that within our souls, how blessed our lives would be. Psalm 27. Here's another verse that expresses that desire to be in God's presence, in His house. This is the verse that we've taken in Williamsburg for this year as our text for 2010. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the better part, What had Mary chosen to do? You know that story? Just to sit at his feet. Just to sit at Jesus' feet. My dad said, well, maybe we ought to ask people to promise. To make a promise. Are you going to spend time at the feet of Jesus? Each day, how much time do you think we ought to give the Lord? Now maybe you ought to write it down in your book somewhere. Lord, I promise to spend, and you put in the blank, before you each day, reading your word, praying, sitting at your feet. Could you do that? Do you think that would help you? Mary hath chosen the better part, the better thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Why one thing? Because it's for David, it was to him the most important thing. Now, we can't be, as it were, in God's house every day. I don't think that's what this is saying. But that desire to be in his presence, to live before him, to walk with him, to practice his presence, to say, Jesus, you're with me now. Jesus, you're in me now. And so, Lord, I want to have fellowship with you. I want that fellowship that you've promised, that comes when my heart is clean, when I walk in the light as he is in the light. I have fellowship with God. I dwell in his presence all the days of my life. And sometimes we make resolutions and we don't fulfill them. I remember as a, I guess I was a counselor down in the village. And on a Sunday morning, Brother Bob Collis, who was the director of the camp at that time, he gave a challenge to the boys, the campers. He said, I want you to take this song, and it was, Oh, to be like thee. 325. Oh, to be like thee. He said, I want you to take that song, and I want you to sing it every day for this year. Now, I don't think I did it. I don't think I made the whole year. I want to be honest. But I made an effort. I started with that. That stuck. That went into my heart. And tonight, maybe what is suggested will go into your heart. I can't, you know, make it go in. Maybe it will. Maybe someone will take it up. But you know, what a blessing. That song is such a wonderful prayer. And as I began to sing that, I memorized it. I can sing all the verses for you now. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, that means that I have anything. But what I mean, it's something that went into my heart at that time. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. But it was a song that if you sang it, it brought you into God's presence. You could feel God coming. God working in you. It's a wonderful prayer. And so take up things like that. Take up suggestions that are given. But here David said, one thing. I make time for that one thing. Should we get practical? Right? We should, right? I think we should. So that means that you have to turn off the TV. That means you have to shut down the computer. And you have to stop wasting time. There was a little article in here about prayer. Oh, it's right there. Save time, pray. You see it there? Save time, pray. It's something that says there. There is no real need to sacrifice any duty. We have time enough for all if we are not idle. If we have no time to pray, we must make time. For if God has given us time for secondary duties, He must have given us time for primary ones. To draw near to Him is a primary duty, and we must let nothing set it to one side. And then what I read follows. And indeed, the one will help the other instead of clashing with it. Do we believe it? I'm so busy, I have to pray. Isn't that what Luther said? I have so much to do today that I shall never get through it with less than 3 hours of prayer. And then he goes on, I thought this was so good too. Here was a student, right? How many of you are students? Any students here? You're all students, more or less? Of course. And we say, well, I have to devote myself to my studies. Yes, you do. But if you would spend time with God, you would find that your studies would go a lot better. And again, I'm not pointing to myself. I endeavored when I was in college that I was not going to miss meetings because of schoolwork. And I took that verse, the one that honors God, him he will honor. Now that's not the way it says in the King James. It says in Samuel, he that honors me, I will honor. He that honors me, I will honor. And so I purposed, Lord, I'm going to honor you that way. And I didn't get straight A's. But you know what? That did. When I came out of college, the Lord had a job for me. He opened doors for me. It didn't change whether I had got all A's or a few B's in there. Now I'm not saying you should do less than your best. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you ought to put God first. And don't worship the A's. No. Mm-hmm. Don't worship the A's. It's all right if you don't get all A's. Because God will honor you if you honor Him. Just one or two more, and they go together. Let's look at the ones in Psalm 43. I think that's the end then, right? We have them all besides those two? You put your pen away. Get it out again, Albert. Come on. Stay with me. Good, good man. So we only have those two left, right? At the top? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we had looked at verse 4 right at the beginning, if you were here on Sunday. But let's begin at verse 3. Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. or let them bring me to the place where you dwell. And I thought about that. You know, we're encouraged to seek the Lord. We're encouraged to seek out His presence, to live in His presence day by day. But how do we do that? And how do I make that happen, as it were, in my life? How is it going to be realized in my experience? And here David says, send out your light and your truth. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill. I believe it's a work of God's grace to open our eyes, to help us to see how much we need the Lord. I think it was Brother Tom who said that. Say again what you said, Brother Tom. Your one sentence.
I thought I had no need for God, but now that I found Him, I found out that He is my greatest need.
I thought I had no need for God, but Lord, You opened my eyes and You've caused me to see how much I need You. You know, light speaks of understanding and enlightenment. And then the truth. Thy truth. Again, we can't depart from this book. And as we read this book, God will bring us to Himself. God will reveal Himself to you in a greater way. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. And so here again, this is, I believe, the essence of the pilgrim. The pilgrim spirit is, I will go to God, my exceeding joy. I'm going to leave everything else behind. When they went and set out on that journey to Jerusalem, those pilgrims, they left their families sometimes. They left their homes behind. They left their lands. And they said, I'm going to God, my exceeding joy. And we too need to have that within our hearts. If your heart is set on pilgrimage, this is what you declare. I'm going to the altar. I'm yielding my will. I'm surrendering my all. I go to your altar. I go to God, my exceeding joy. I think it's important that we realize we must go to the altar. Do you long for sweet peace and for faith to increase? Well, is your all on the altar? You can never know the love He will bestow or the blessings for which you have prayed, till your body and soul He doth fully control, and your all on the altar is laid. I think with God it's all for all. He wants to give you Himself. He wants you to find Him to be everything. But in return, it seems we need to give our all. And so as pilgrims, let this prayer be upon our hearts. Let this be our desire. I will go to the altar of God, I will go to God, my exceeding joy. Jesus, you are the joy of living. Jesus, you are the King of life to me. Unto him my all I'm giving, his forevermore to be. I will do what he commands me. Anywhere he leads, I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the dearest friend I know. And so let's be pilgrims. Let's be pilgrims. Do you want to be a pilgrim? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we come to you tonight. Send out your light and truth. You know, I couldn't help but thinking, too, that we could maybe apply that to Jesus himself. Jesus, the light. Jesus, the truth. Jesus, you are the one who brings me to God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But Jesus, you've come. And so as we walk with him, as we allow him to live out his life within us, and as we daily seek to please him, you know, we will reach the goal. And that goal is God himself, to dwell with him forever. Oh, Jesus, 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 draw our hearts tonight. Oh, God, put holy desire within each one of us. A greater desire to seek your face, to hunger and thirst after you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, open our eyes. Anoint our eyes with eyesalve that we may see. Lord, help us to see our great need of you and put within our souls a press. I press toward the mark, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are before. God, take us on. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know you, Lord. So we take grace tonight. We take grace, Lord. We believe that you are calling us. Give us the enablement to rise up and follow. Amen.